Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Previously on Of Mice and Men and Monsters.
Congratulations! Another successful night of helping a soul who needed a chance and a hope. He needs to build bridges and, oof, he's gonna need some help, and that's where you three still come in.
Hello, Old Smoke. Oh, what a wonderful snowy day. I'm so grateful just to be alive and see all your wonderful little faces. I'm nice now.
So with the two ghosts with you help, Scrooge, you're able to gather needed supplies for this festival and send it along to your home. You got some decor, you got some ornaments, you got some gifts to hand out. Now, the Cratchit family.
Mr. Scrooge! You have some nerve to come here!
Yes, Miss Pig. I mean, Miss Cratchit.
I'm gonna give some distance, but behind I see him getting yelled at. I'm giving two thumbs up as he's getting reamed.
Ooh. Miss Cratchit, I understand. You're probably very upset with me, and I get it. I've been a bad guy. Duh. And I think it's...
Wow, you really sound penitent right now.
Sorry, I was just thinking of this song I really like. I didn't mean that cavalierly. But yeah, I've done a lot of bad stuff, and now, from the bottom of my heart, I think it's time for me to make amends. And I want to start with you and your lovely family, Emily. Bob, you, all your little piglets, the whole gang, your children... Well, the whole shebang.
Some of them are frogs.
The frogs and the piglets. Yeah. So what do you say? Are you in or are you out?
Well, if I had my druthers, I would have you let me... I just want to suck at you. Would you let me do that?
I'm in a bit of a tough spot now. But yeah, okay, go ahead.
And she winds up and then she just stops like,
wow, you weren't going to let me go through with that?
Yeah, I was.
Come in and make yourself useful while we wait for Bob.
Wow.
And so she ushers you in and she's just like chuckling to herself.
Wow, she's sick in the head.
She really hates you.
Oh my gosh.
I talked to past.
Do you have a way to get in there? I don't want to miss this.
I do, but it's only for 1 minute. Or we can fly up to a different window and float there for a while. But I think that would be distracting.
Right,
I think we go up to a window and we listen.
How about you fly? I'm going to transport myself in there and make myself really small. So that way
they
can't see.
Are you able to make me really small with you?
No, I'm not able to do that. I'm sorry.
How useless. All right, fine. You listen your way, I will listen mine.
Bye. Later.
And I go in, I want to be kind of on the windowsill and inside, and I want to be like super tiny, like a what's the thing that guards your thumb when you're sewing?
A thimble.
Thimble, thank you.
A thimble.
Small as a thimble. All right, so what the two of you see when you get into position is just this very awkward scene of Mrs. Cratchit and her husband's employer, who has treated them like shit up till now, has overworked her husband. And so she is, in turn, pretty much putting you to work right now. And she says,
right now I have a couple pies in. Can you just finish off and... Can you just pinch it off and put it in?
Damn. Okay, Emily. Sure. I'll try.
Right. I'm getting more and more of a vision of why Ebenezer didn't like this family.
Listen, no, I'm a good guy now. I really like them now. Everything's fine. I will crimp the pie crust for Emily.
Yeah, not pinch one out. How can you tell someone doesn't bake? The vernacular.
All right, so I'm gonna roll for you on this one. So we'll just do like a performance check on here. If you fail this, your ghost compatriots can figure out a way to narratively aid you and to give you advantage, meaning let you re-roll to see if you're successful. So we're looking for you to get above a 10 on this to see that you're able to help them and not like basically ruin these pies for the family. Okay, so you got a 3.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
So this is where I'm going to invite the ghost to figure out a way to... you guys see him floundering. Like, he's... you're just... Scrooge is just, like, trying to pinch the crust together and just, like, it's coming apart in his hands and just this glob. And you see, like, this panicked look on his face as Mrs. Cratchit is turned from him.
All right. Past immediately turns invisible, runs into the house. And as she is invisible, removes the pie crust from his hand and then is going to attempt to crimp the pie for the 1 minute she's invisible in the house and then we'll leave. What do I need to roll?
You can do a performance check with this. Let's see what you got. Ooh, yeah, why don't you do performance or... Ooh, actually, what might be interesting with this one, stealth would be a good one. Yeah, let's do stealth.
Thank you, because I have a +2 for stealth. Well, I got an 8, so that's not good enough. So it's not as good.
Well, it's okay because we're going to add that to... So you're going to have an 8, and I'm going to add it to his roll here. Okay, so great. I'm going to re-roll and add that to there to with this advantage.
The +8?
Yeah.
Damn.
I know. 18 plus 8, 26. I would say that's above a 10. So what from your standpoint, Scrooge, you see, you kind of feel this swoosh of this gust of wind as the door quickly opens and closes. And as Emily looks over at the door, figuring out what the hell that was, you kind of feel this pressure of someone next to you, and the pie just lifts out of your hands abruptly, and you see it just start to fold itself correctly and then set in front of you, and then a whoosh again as whoever was right there exits. I don't think you knew she had this ability yet, so I don't think you would have been prepared for this. So as far as you know, you're like, well, I am with ghosts. Might be them. Just might be where I am still fucked up from last night, so could be this. All right, so Emily turns back around.
Ooh, that's amazing. Would you like me to would you like some of this pie when it's ready, Mr. Scrooge?
I would love some. That's so kind of you. Thank you.
And the door behind you opens, and in walks your employee, Bob Cratchit, and on his shoulder is his young son.
Is he alive?
You had seen. He is alive. Okay. He is alive. Who did not die. and Tiny Tim is on his shoulder, and he sets Tiny Tim down, who immediately hobbles over to you. Are you Mr. Scrooge?
Yeah, it's me. Hey, Tiny Tim, how you doing, kiddo?
Why are you here? Is Papa in trouble?
Oh, no. Your father's doing fine. I was just helping your mother crimp a pie crust and really pinch one out. And I want to invite her and your dad and you to the big party I'm hosting. And I might even do a little set at. So stay tuned for that.
Wow. And he turns around. Papa, can we go? And he just starts to get so excited. He starts to kind of like cough, and I set him down. And Bob Cratchit just quickly rushes forward and you know, settles his son down and looks up at you. Mr. Scrooge, thank you. I don't know what to say. Are you sure we can dine at your place? Are you sure that's? I mean, I have to be at work early tomorrow.
No. Hey, Bob, take tomorrow off. You deserve it. Again, I don't know if you heard the news. I'm really nice now, and so take the day off. Bring the wife and kid. Do you just have the one kid, or do you have more? I forgot.
No, I have other kids there, and you kind of hear like scuffling in the back, and one of them like pops out, and you see like two girls and a boy kind of peek around the corner.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
We're of the lower Victorian class. We tend to have lots of kids. Yeah.
I remember Tiny Tim because of his memorable characteristics. But I forgot the other ones because they don't.
Is it my lovely voice?
Yeah. It's the way you sing so good, kid.
You've been listening to me sing?
Yeah. Hey, you can even sing at the party if you want to. I don't care.
Will you sing with me, Mr. Scrooge?
Hey, I would love nothing more, I guess. Yeah. I'll sing with you. Sure.
Wow. Okay, this is going to be the best Christmas ever because I'm going to sing with my new friend. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah. Ebenezer and Tim, duets coming at you soon at the Starbucks.
Eat CD your heart out, aisle. Simon and Garfunkel. It's oh, yeah. Tiny Tim and Ebenezer.
I knew my name comes duos first. In town. Mm-hmm.
That was going to be right. Real Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett vibes.
All right. So, yeah, you finish it off. You got the family coming. And as you exit, you look around and you recognize like the area of town. And even though you're on the edge of Old Smoke, you, in the less savory part for someone of your old standing, you recognize the area enough that you know how to get to your nephew. And so you make your way over there and, you knock on your nephew's door. And immediately he opens, a young woman opens the door. Is that you, Uncle Scrooge?
Yeah, it's me. What's your name again?
This is where your DM has already forgotten the name, so we're gonna call her Lydia. Lydia, your niece-in-law.
Okay, so what's your last name?
I'm married to Fred Gilfred.
Oh, Gilfred. Okay.
Yeah. what did you want to see? Did you want to see Fred?
I would love to see Fred. I'll talk to you too. I'll talk to you together. You don't have to leave the room. I don't have like a special relationship with him where I need to you not to be here. So yeah, get Fred. Get Fred. That'd be great. Sorry, I don't know why I'm nervous right now.
I know. Well, family can make you nervous. Why don't you come in? I'm sure Fred would be delighted to see you. He's been talking about you.
Really?
Come on in.
About me?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, and you go in.
what's he saying?
He said that he misses you. And
oh, well, I'm
he saw you yesterday and wished you a Merry Christmas, and you said you're typical bah humbug. But
yeah, it's kind of my catchphrase. It was my catchphrase. It's not anymore.
Was? Wow. This all in one night.
Yeah.
I guess you better talk to Fred. Come on in. And she leads you down the hall, and you see your nephew, you know, just young, prime of life. He's been married to Lydia perhaps like a year or two now.
How old are they?
Probably at this point, early 20s. So yeah, just they're okay. They're on the young side. And he sees you, and just immediately just this look of shock and awe enters to his face. But then a pleased smile as he rushes forward and extends his hand to shake yours.
Hey.
Uncle Scrooge, what are you doing here?
Hey, Guilford, get in here. I'm a hugger now. Come on, put her there.
And it is an awkward family hug where just at first, like, you're just kind of basically shaking his body, but eventually his arms come up and wrap around yours in warmth. What are you doing here?
Well,
we're happy to have you, but
here's
what do we
deal.
Owe this pleasure?
I'll make a long story short. I used to be mean, and I'm really nice now because I think I had like a mental break last night, and I don't know, some trauma caught up to me. I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm in a really great mood. I'm trying to ride the wave, and I'm having a Christmas party tonight. I want you and Lydia to come. It would delight me so much from the bottom of my heart if you would do me the honor of coming to this, the day of my Christmas party.
How could I say no to family? Tell you what. You play one game of five questions with me. Basically, it's a yes or no, and I'll come to your party.
That's something they did when
yeah,
they was a kid.
So it's called yes or no. It's from the story. We see it in definitely a Muppet's Christmas Carol. But we usually call it 21 questions, where you can try to guess what they're thinking of in a certain amount. But in here, yeah. So you wouldn't have seen this game played before, Scrooge, but you had never played it yourself. So he says, look, I think it's only fair. Just see if it's really a new you and not like the old you that would just say bah humbug at such silly games, as you would call them. And we'll come over for dinner.
No, I'm super into game night now. Let's go. Five questions. Sounds fun.
Okay. All right. Feel free. Ask. You know what? I'll go easy on you. You can ask up to 10 questions if you want.
Okay. Is it alive?
Yeah. Yeah, it's alive.
Is it botanical in nature? Is it something that occurs in like a tree or something like that?
No.
Oh gosh. Is it an animal?
Yes.
Is it furry?
In some places, yes.
Is it something I could touch without danger?
Yes.
Is it something in the water?
No, I've never seen.
Oh boy. Is it a rat?
Used to be. Three more questions, Uncle.
It used to be a rat. It used to be a rat. Oh man, Uncle Scrooge is not doing so hot on this game. It's on land. It's alive. It used to be a rat. Is it Mickey Mouse?
No, that we don't speak that demon's name around here. No, it's not him.
It used to be a rat, but now it's not.
I never thought of it as a rat, but I've heard it called a rat many times.
Oh, is it even a Chihuahua?
No, not a Chihuahua.
Is it Matt Damon and The Departed?
Hey, even better looking than Matt Damon and The Departed. And I love them.
I think he's smiling. Oh, is it Guilford?
No, it's not me, Uncle. It's you. And he, like, holds his arms out. He's like, come here. You're a good sport. We'll be there for dinner.
Oh, that's fine. Wow, I can't believe we had to do that, but I'm still happy you're going to be there.
You know what? It's a type of weird white people that you roll with. Always got to turn it, got to gamify it.
Hey, it's like the Scrooges always says, white people gonna white, all right? All white?
Please don't make that your new catchphrase instead of Bob Book.
Yeah, I'm workshopping a few now. My little, you know, I'm thinking either we got a white or what's up? One of those
oh,
two.
Oh, no. All right. So as you come out, past and present, you kind of like look at your little like checklist that you have for yourself, and you see invitees and bridges, you know, crossing, check. You see party planning, check. You still see one on the list that has yet to remain checked off, and that is a charitable donation.
Ebenezer, what is it again that you do for work?
Oh gosh.
So yeah, you are a moneylender. In this case, you lend money out at exorbitant rates, and then you expect it back. This was an easy way, like much like a personal bank. And this was an easy way to make money, and an easy way to put people out of their homes and businesses if they did not pay.
Hey, what Scrooge does for work is complicated. So to explain it, we got Margot Robbie in a bathtub here.
Exactly.
Ebenezer, yeah. What a wonderful way to show your change of heart, but by to forgive those people of their debts.
Yeah.
And then it is Christmas.
My friends in the workhouse would very much appreciate it.
Well, you know, that kind of blows a hole to my whole financial model.
Ebenezer.
Okay, you got me. I'll do it. Listen, there's no holes we can't
white
patch
people
up
people going
the next
to
year.
White, am I right?
Yeah. You're right.
And as you're discussing this, almost out of nowhere, like you swore you had like been looking around, but you notice something that almost seems to have poofed out of just existence, and that is a sign that reads Christmas Charity Fundraiser at 3 p.m. And, you know, the clock dings and you can tell that it is about 2:30. So it's nearing 3 p.m. And it's just super convenient, super deus ex machina, super... Especially
Forget
to you, present
saying,
and past.
Forget everything I was going down. That's not the road the dungeon master wanted to do.
No, you can do what you want. You can do what you want.
Well, should we go to that?
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Friends, half-orcs, countrymen, lend me your pointy ears. Hey guys, it's me, Kate, your master teacher. And I am here at the break to say, hey, how are you? Happy holidays. Hope you're having a cozy season. And I hope that you're enjoying this special holiday one-shot for Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, specifically a follow-up to it, featuring our very good friend Kevin Porter from Good Christian Fun Podcast and Other Shenanigans that you can find online. I can't mention his name without mentioning his other earlier, more well-known podcast, Gilmore Guys. So thank you, Kevin, for joining us and reprising your role as Ebenezer Scrooge and Ebenezer Scrooge 2.0. So I'm also here for a couple things. I would love to invite you to join us on our Patreon, our Omam Mam Fam, as we're starting to call it. We'd love to see you on there. Love to not just have your support, but also interact with you on a more intimate basis. You can come on to our exclusive Discord and talk to us on a daily basis. You can get some cool bonus content, like our full versions of the book reports, the after show where we sit and hang out, and you get to know us on like a more personal level and get some cool behind the scenes tidbits for me as a dungeon master and the story we're weaving in the world, as well as some cool character ideas for Penny, Awen, and Bertram. And there's lots more. So come on down. You can go into the description for this episode and click on the link there, or you can go into patreon.com and just look up Oh Mam Mam Show. And the last thing I'm going to invite you to surprise us with is a little open up the advent calendar and pops the trinkets for this week, and that is leaving us a rating and review. As a smaller independent podcast, we love them. We read them. It bolsters our spirits, and it also bolsters us up onto the algorithm scale, which helps more people join you on this journey. So wherever you listen to this podcast, you can leave it a rating and review. And as a thank you, I will read out your reviews on here. So today's comes from Head Slicer. Love your name, Head Slicer. And Head Slicer says, best real play D&D podcast ever. This is, without a doubt, the best real play D&D I've had the pleasure of listening to. The storytelling from the DM and the characters is wonderful. The nods to and dialogue taken from classic literature make me feel like I'm in on an inside joke regularly. I do hope this group continues to play and record for our benefit. Of the classic literature I've read or listened to through LibriVox.org, ooh, free shout out, the stories of Jules Verne were my favorite. I think most of them would lend themselves well to this format. Keep up the good work and thank you all. Oh, Jules Verne. Oh, maybe I've had that up the sleeve. You'll have to wait and see. But thank you again, Head Slicer. Your words brought us life, keep us going for the long run, and we're not slowing down, baby. So with that, that's enough of me. Just a roundup, check out our friend Kevin Porter, Gilmore Guys Podcast, Good Christian Fun Podcast. You can also come visit us on our Patreon page. So the link is in our description box and in the show notes, basically. And you can leave us a rating and review. Just a few moments. You don't have to write anything. You could just click those stars if you like. And if you do have a maximum 1 minute, maybe two, just to write out a few sentences, it means the world to us. So that's enough of me. Let's get back to the show, shall we? So you go into this party scene, and that's what it looks like. It's just like this raucous, exultant scene of people who are from, you recognize some of them. You recognize some of them from different businesses and individuals as well that you have worked with, that you have lent money to, that most of them owe you greatly. And all under the, I guess you could say, the headship or the umbrella of this one charitable organization who you had just the day before denied any ability to give them a donation, any willingness to help out. And so you recognize especially one of the figures, a man in a tall, like, stovepipe hat, who is sitting at a chair and a small table in front of him, and a sheaf of papers. He looks up at you and kind of like nervously like shuffles the papers around. He's like, Mr. Scrooge, I didn't expect to see you here. I promise we are within our rights to be doing this fundraiser, and we are. And he's not making eye contact with you.
We are not
going to be asking you for anything, so you don't have to stay.
Hey, you don't have to stay. Mr. What's your name again? I forgot your name.
Mr. Cleedles.
All right, Mr. Cleedles. Benjamin Cleedles, right?
Yes, that's my first name.
Well, Benjamin, I may know more than that. Now, I don't know if you've heard the hot goss around town. I was bad, I'm good now. So I'm actually very sympathetic and amenable to this sort of sticky situation that you and the others are in. And I tell you what, because I'm so good now, and I want you to know this, because I'm so good now, I'm willing to raise all the funds to end the fundraiser right now by giving all of you everything that you need, and to make and to undo some of the financial hardships I wrought from the previous month.
Mr. Scrooge, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Thank you. There's just, and you see the nervousness enter into his demeanor again. There's just one catch. We had someone come in. He very businesslike, very knew what he was doing, and set this fundraiser up for Yuletide season. And well, you see, anybody who makes a donation, they're expected to match it with some entertainment. It's part of the agreement we made with the organizer of this whole event.
Wow.
We can't accept the money from you unless you also get on stage. Don't take it up with me. And he like hides behind the sheath of papers. It's him over there. And you see like over there, you see just this like tall, gaunt figure all in black and tip, like just looks like, just think of your goth emo kid, just hair swooped over. He has a cigarette. He's reading a book of Poe. I mean, he's just in the corner, and he looks over at you and kind of swishes his hair out of his face a little bit and nods in your direction.
Pat starts elbowing present immediately, just like,
all right, Cleedles, I can tell you're very nervous. I can tell you're very upset.
You just make me very, I'm sorry, you've thrown rocks at me in the past, and I don't know what you're going to do any second.
In my defense, throwing rocks at someone's head, a very funny prank. It's kind of hilarious. But listen, I'm going to sing a song. I'm actually going to do it. And not only that, I got the spirit of Christmas in me so hard that I'm also going to do a little choreographed dance routine as well, along with it.
Wow. This is gonna close it all out. You can have the, wow. All right. Yes. If you do that, just go check in with. We never got his name. He doesn't really say anything. But he had all the directions clearly set out for us. So go check in with that guy. I don't know who scares me more, you or him. But right now I'm leaning more towards him. So just go check in with him, and he'll get you on stage.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, Cleedles. Thank you.
And he faints. Cleedles just straights up.
Oh my
straight
God.
Up faints.
Oh, poor kiddo. Poor kid.
All right. So yeah, you make your way over to this goth kid. He just like sees you coming and he puts out a cigarette and just grinds it on the ground and flicks his hair and looks at you expectantly with raised eyebrows.
I will be performing now.
And he just nods his head.
Okay, I'm glad we had this exchange. Thanks a lot.
He just pats you on the shoulder, like very, like just solemnly, and then touches his chest, and then touches yours, and then just in a slow turning point, he points over at the stage. And he's like, man, I've seen this gesture before. I have
from a distance after the cue of past poking and nudging me and pointing. I try and wave from a distance to get Scrooge's attention. And I'm pointing at the person he's talking to. And I'm gesturing kind of like a zombie kind of thing, like a really tall guy, and gesturing to like me in past and holding up the number 3.
I think I understand everything now.
And once again, this goth boy just nods and then swivels his hair and once again slowly points over towards the stage.
All right.
How are we acting this out? How are we doing this?
Citizens of Old Smoke.
Is he just
going
to roll? He's not going to have him sing. He's just going to have him roll.
I'm not going to force you to sing, and definitely since this is an audio format, you're not going to be like, and I do this, and I pop, and I lock, and I dip, and all that. So why don't we have a role for performance? Now, here's the thing. I definitely want to figure out a way that just going into this, your ghost compatriots, how would you guys assist him in this? How would you guys help him succeed? Because this 70 plus year old man has not performed, has not danced, as far as we know, ever in public before.
The moment that Pass saw that it was Future, she put together what was going on and immediately drew up an applause sign and then just toddles over to the front to hold up an applause sign for the audience to give Scrooge the support that he needs.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I think I would then off that, I would get near the front and would make myself kind of large, even though I'm still like, I look like the baker. And I would start the kind of like the slow clap over my head, like trying to get a beat going or trying to like get the crowd going into it off of the applause sign, trying to get the audience hyped for this.
Oh, they are. You hear at first like this smattering of claps, like not sure what's going on, but then slowly it builds in momentum under your guidance. And Scrooge, as you just alight onto the stage, you hear this stamping and clapping in a rhythm. Tell us what he would do.
Well, that top hat that I've been wearing all day, I start to incorporate that into a Fosse-esque dance routine. And I'm singing All That Jazz. The classic number by Candor and Ebb. And I'm doing that. And I'm being a little shy at first. I'm kind of like poking my head out from the hat. And I start using my whole body from head to toe in every way imaginable. I'm getting the crowd real juiced up, real riled.
Is there a cane? Is there a cane involved?
You know there's a cane involved. You know I'm putting the hat on the cane. I'm making the cane my dance partner and doing all sorts of anthropomorphism.
Excellent.
And the crowd's feral. They're losing their minds. They're screaming. They're ripping their hair out. This performance is so good. They can't believe it. It is a cacophony of applause. An orgiastic sound erupts from the audience at the sight of 70-year-old Scrooge giving it to them good dance-wise.
They lose it.
Corsets or whatever equivalent is being thrown up on the...
Yes.
That's right. They're throwing their corsets bloomers, up. I'm sniffing them. Yeah.
You're sniffing them.
Yeah.
Just bodice rippings. All right. Let's roll, and I'm going to give you some bonuses with the help of your ghostly compatriots. All right. So rolling also with advantage. That was an 18. Ooh. So you just knock it out of the park. And you notice too, like any kind of like extra like baskets that were on the side, people are like running over and like pouring money into it. just like you are inspiring this crowd, and they don't even know what to do with themselves and seeing that. And so as you descend the stage back down, you see just the mundane figure of now you recognize the Christmas yet to come or future, like just slow clapping, but still saying nothing.
As the crowd goes wild and everyone's clapping, I'm still up front and still kind of like really tall. I turn back around and I yell to everyone, "Party at Ebenezer Scrooge's tonight!"
Yeah, they pick up the chant and you party, party, and you're held aloft on some shoulders, Scrooge, and they head back, and it takes some telling people where to go, because they're not everybody knows where you live, and so it's like there's a few awkward turns where it's like no, left here.
Well, I was gonna say Pass somehow found some glow sticks and is leading the way with glow sticks yes. Like parade, black parade, over to Ebenezer Scrooge's house.
You do, and as you get there, you see that the shopkeep has started to get some of the food ready. You see that prized turkey and other sides that you had purchased already, like on this large banquet table. You see the gnome who you invited has more platters of those magical cookies at the ready for people walking in, and has taken what you purchased and put it all around the room, winking at you as you enter.
As they start, so they're flooding into the house.
Yeah.
As they're flooding in, I'm kind of holding the door open, and I say, "Come in and know him better, man."
Nice. So the three of you see this scene before you. People of Old Smoke, both from Charlestown and from the Dickens, you know, people from high and low class, like, are gathered there. People that had at one time reviled you behind your back and feared you at your face, and all looking at you expectantly, you at the head of the table, Scrooge, with this prize turkey in front of you. At your right, you see Tiny Tim sitting in this place of honor on this small seat. And everybody just waits with hushed breath for you to start the meal, to begin this feast. What do you say? What do you say, Scrooge?
Well, what a journey we've had to get here. I had to go through a transformative series of events. I had to renounce my ways in a big way. I had to repent. I had to make amends. I had to go door to door and do invites. But here we are, and that's what Christmas is about. It's about being with the people you love. And I'll say it. I think maybe I was afraid before. Maybe I was locked in my own head about it. I used my own vitriol, my own anger, as a shield against humanity. But I'm ready to be human again. I'm ready to accept love and receive it, but especially to give it. And everyone here, each and every one of you sitting in one of these chairs, if you're here, it's because I love you. Maybe I just met you tonight. Maybe I've known you for a long time. Maybe you're literally family. All the same, I love each and every one of you. And I want this to be a Christmas you always remember because of love. And I'm good now. And remember that.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as a good an employer, as good as man as Old Smoke knew. Some people laughed to see this change in him, but you let them laugh. And little heeded them, for Scrooge was now wise enough to know that nothing has ever happened on this globe for good at which some people don't have their fill of laughter in the outset. And knowing that such as these people would be blind anyway, Scrooge thought it quite as well that they should wrinkle up their eyes and grins and have the malady in less attractive forms. Scrooge's own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. And as he finished this round, Scrooge You look across the table and you see this goth boy reach over and lift his own glass in salute to you. Says,
"God bless us, everyone."
Kevin, before we close out and everything, where can people find you? If they want to know more of this Kevin Porter, who was Scrooge transformed, and want to hear more of your work, where can they find you?
Oh, sure. You can find me on the podcast Good Christian Fun, wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening to this podcast on, you can find it on there. You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere on Peloton, Instagram, Letterboxd, OnlyFans, the whole works. You can find me there.
Excellent. And thank you so much again for coming on and playing with us. You're our first guest actually playing with us on this show, and makes me want to keep doing this. It's fun playing with you, my friend.
Hey, my pleasure. And I'll bill you for the hours we used on my Zoom Pro account to have this
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Meet Pia Casely, a journalist with a nose for a good story.
Do you know who the last person to interview Julie Capson was? Me.
Meet Brenda Bentley, a dogged detective with a case she can't let go.
Nobody came closer than I did, and that's why I was kicked off the force.
Together, they solve the cold cases no one else can.
That's when things got weird. And we haven't even gotten to the torso yet.
If they don't kill each other first, that is.
Well, you've got another thing coming.
You know, I think it's you got another thing coming.
Or perhaps there's something else between them.
Well, if the feeling's mutual,
call it a mutual feeling.
Arden. A podcast about crime, romance, and everything else. Season 1 and 2 now available. Brought to you by Wayface Industries. The good people.